In the name of God, the Holy and Undivided Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This is an unusual Sunday in our liturgical calendar, for today is not a day that's dedicated to an event in the life and ministry of Jesus, but rather is dedicated to a doctrine, the doctrine of the Trinity. And this doctrine we rightly call a mystery beyond our comprehension. Beyond our understanding is that mystery that God is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. While Trinity Sunday can seem like an erudite exercise in obscure theological thought and debate, it actually, I think, expresses a reality that's central to our faith and to our lives. The articulation of the doctrine of the Trinity is rooted in the debates of the early church about the nature of Jesus. And in this debate, there were several questions that were at its heart. In the incarnation, is Jesus fully divine, fully human, or fully human and fully divine? What is the relationship between God the Father and the Son? What is the relationship between the Father and the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit God? These questions, this debate, led to the articulation of the doctrine that we celebrate this Sunday, namely that God is one God revealed in three persons, all fully God. God is not created, but exists from before time and is the author of all that is. The Son is not created, but begotten of the Father, and the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father through the Son. The doctrine of the Trinity isn't the work of a group of theologians who sat together and attempted to explain the nature of God and the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Rather, it began with the early church's engagement of Scripture and with the language of its worship. In reading and studying Scripture, in gathering as a community to worship God, it was clear that God was revealed in three persons. In the Gospels and in the New Testament epistles, God is revealed as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. From the earliest days, the Church asserted God was a unity of three persons, one God revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons, yet one God. We see God revealed as the Trinity clearly in today's epistle from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. In it, Paul concludes his letter with language that is common to him. He writes, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you." In our lesson from the first chapter of Genesis, there's not so much obvious Trinitarian language as we find in our epistle, but we see the activity of God the Creator, of God speaking creation into being through the Word, and the Spirit of God hovering over the waters of creation. This passage tells us important truths about God that inform our understanding of the Trinity. And central is that opening phrase, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth." God is present at the beginning of creation and is active in creation. There is no creation before God acts. Nothing in the created world can act before God does. The opening of Genesis tells us that God is God of all of creation. God creates the entire world. God creates all creatures, including humanity. God does not create just one nation, tribe, or family of people. God creates all people. And so in God, there is no one group favored over another. All are created and loved by God. Genesis tells us that God has a special love for all humankind, creating us in the image and the likeness of God. No other creature is made in God's image, and only humanity is given dominion over what God made. This is sometimes confused with domination, with exercising power over, abusing the authority given by God, exploiting creation for humanity's greed. But instead, God calls us to be caretakers and stewards of creation, to be partners and co-creators with God, to care for the world as God does, for what to watch over it and responsibly manage it, to love all creatures as God does. In doing this, we share in the creative work of God. Sharing in God's work reminds us that creation is made by God in love. Creation is made to be in relationship with God. Nothing that is made for itself alone. All things are created to contribute to the whole of creation. All things are connected and interrelated, and all are cared for by God. Genesis teaches us that just as God is a community of love revealed in the Trinity, so God creates all creatures to be interconnected and in relationship. God creates us to be in relationship with God, to share in the Trinity's divine life and activity. God creates us also to be in relationship with all people and with the whole of creation. As the 16th century Anglican priest and theologian Richard Hooker said, "No part of creation can say to another, 'I need thee not.'" In our gospel, the relationality of the Trinity is expressed in the baptismal language used by Matthew. This gospel is created 2 centuries before the church fully articulates what is understood by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But already in the early liturgy of the church, in the baptismal rite, we find the familiar articulation of the Trinity. This passage is the very end of Matthew's gospel. Jesus has been raised from the dead and brings his followers to a mountain in Galilee. And there he teaches them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus reassures his disciples that he is with them always for all time, though he physically leaves them. And he sends them out to do the work that he has done, calling on them to make disciples of all people, teaching and baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Since the earliest days of the church, baptism is administered into the name of the Trinity. Through the waters of baptism, we are brought into the life of the Trinity and incorporated into the community of love that is God. We are brought into the household of God, into a relationship of belonging and incorporation with God that will not end, not even at death. Through baptism, we belong to God forever. The call that we receive in baptism is to a very particular way of life, to a life rooted in the divine life of the Trinity. It's a life of sharing in God's work of creating and caring for all creatures. It's a life of serving others as Jesus serves. It is a life of following the call of God's Spirit, using the gifts given by the Spirit for the work of ministry. Being incorporated into the divine life of God, we are rooted in the divine love that flows from the Trinity. This divine love fills us to overflowing, wells up within us, spills out from us into the world through our words and our deeds. Living by God's love, we are compelled to act for the common good of all creatures. There are several important ways that I see us as a parish community participating in this divine life of love of the Trinity. Since March 15th, we have remained physically distant, so the coronavirus is not spread. We have given up gathering in person for the time being, using technology to worship virtually. We are fasting from celebrating and receiving the Eucharist until it is safe for all people to do so. Love bids us stay apart for this time. God's love is rooted in justice and leads us to raise our heartsick voices in lament and outrage at white supremacy and 400 years of systemic racial oppression and violence. For the past 6 years, we have educated ourselves about white privilege, about our nation's history of white supremacy and systemic racial oppression. We have partnered with others in the neighborhood to build mutual relationships across society's divide of race and class. Though our work has been suspended by the pandemic, the vestry is exploring how to actively re-engage in this work through virtual technology. We want to be able to respond with urgency to the situation in our nation, to the recent protests on the streets of more than 700 cities and towns in our country, including here in Providence, where on Friday 10,000 people protested in the streets. This life of love rooted in the Trinity also led several of us on this past Thursday to go to the prayer vigil and lament that was held at the State House. Organized by the Rhode Island Council of Churches and the Ministers Alliance, the vigil was in response to the death of George Floyd and so many other unnamed black and brown people who have died at the hands of police. Several hundred of us lamented, crying our grief to heaven, speaking aloud the names of those killed by police. And we recommitted ourselves to the work of dismantling racial oppression. These actions are all rooted in the divine love of God expressed by the doctrine of the Trinity. In our one God, revealed in three persons, is found our life and our salvation, our very identity and our belonging. In the Trinity is rooted our unity with all people and with all of creation. As followers of Jesus, we are called to make known the love of God revealed in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the love which, through the waters of baptism, we now share. Trinity Sunday calls us to stake our very lives on the power of God to overcome the powers of sin and evil and even death in the world. Trinity Sunday can seem like a dry theological exercise, but instead it is an attempt to articulate the nature of our God, who is far beyond our knowledge and understanding. We are creatures of the Creator. We are finite beings. We use limited human language to attempt to express the eternal majesty of the ineffable God. Our language will never adequately or fully be able to describe God. And so the most fitting response on this Trinity Sunday is to find ourselves where the articulation of this doctrine began, in Scripture and in worship. Our language can never adequately express the reality of God, but we can come before the throne of grace in loving adoration and worship. We worship our God who creates us in love, who enters into our human life in the person of Jesus, suffering death upon the cross for our redemption, and setting us free through his resurrection from sin and death. We worship the one God who comes to us as a mighty wind and also a still small voice, who comes, the Spirit who comes to us to send us out into the world, who gives us the words to say and the path to walk. And we worship the God who sends us out to the world in love, bringing the mercy, compassion, and justice of God to those the world rejects and forgets. May we always begin and end all things in worship of our God, who is a community of love. A community of love revealed in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.